Welcome to this special Edentree preview of the 2011 Learning Live Conference and Exhibition in Birmingham, UK. Craig Taylor, an L&D professional with over 17 years' experience currently working in the nuclear industry, was a digital and online learning novice until he attended the Learning Technologies Conference in London in February 2010. Since then, Craig has been a firm advocate of social tools for learning and is now a regular in social media communities and on the speaker circuit. In this interview, Craig talks about his experiences of using social tools and also shares some lessons learned. I began by asking Craig what his experience of using social tools for learning was before attending the Learning Technologies Conference.
Prior to going to Learning Technologies 2010, I had fingertips in a few pies and I wasn't really interested in tasting them any further than that. It was more to say that I had a Facebook account and that I was on LinkedIn rather than it to add any value. Went to Learning Technologies 2010, remember sitting there at the beginning of day one and Don Taylor, the conference chair, talking about the fact that, you know, switch your mobile phones on, log into Twitter, start to use the Twitter hashtag. And I really sort of sat there thinking, I knew of Twitter, you know, it was pretty much, you know, pretty difficult to get away from Twitter over the last 2 or 3, 4 years. But I'd never considered that it could be used in a conference or in an environment where there were learning and development professionals, very senior, very well-renowned, you know, L&D and e-learning professionals at a conference. And they were using this tool that really my only perception of it had been celebrities tweeting about what they'd had for lunch, you know, all very distal to real life. And yet here we were at a conference with my peers and people I respected talking about this tool, Twitter. So I had to set up a Twitter account on the evening of day one. And if I were to pinpoint my modern day starting point really with the use of these tools, it was setting up that Twitter account that really has led to me finding out about blogging and creating my own blog, seeing the value of using video in learning, so setting up my own YouTube channel, listening to quite a few people that I respect's podcasts, and then setting up my own podcast stream on my own blog, enhancing my Twitter account so it's a much more fluid, organic beast than it was a very static CV some 2 or 3 years ago. So it really was Learning Technologies that sort of led me to look at these wider technologies, look at how they can enhance my personal development, my personal learning, and also where I can and where I'm allowed to actually offer that first-hand experience back into my organization to say, hold on a second, this site might be blocked, but if there's no valid reason for it, really, other than the fact that we might do something wrong on it, would you consider opening it up? Because look at the business benefits that we could actually gain from opening up and almost unbalancing the scales, really, back into being allowed, those tools actually being allowed to be used.
Now, you were obviously very inspired by your time at the Learning Technologies Conference, and I find that's the case for a lot of people. They go to these events and are full of ideas that they want to implement, but when they get back to their desks and the day job, all the projects and deadlines get in the way. So what is it that you did, Craig, that you felt helped you to put into practice the things that you learned?
Certainly within the first, I would say, month of getting back to work. And what I'd done was I'd actually spoken to my immediate line manager, who was the learning and development manager at that point, sat down with her and actually talked about what I'd seen, what I'd experienced, the value that I could see it bringing back to our organisation. And I quoted, and I will always remember this, one of the keynote speakers, I think it was Stephen Heppel, actually said, if you're designing your learning activities in your organisation for the employees that you've got now, stop and start to plan your learning activities for those employees who are still in university or they're in sixth form, I've not started their GCSEs yet. Start to plan your learning activities for them. And I took that back to my organisation, and we've got a very specific demographic in our organisation. We have an ageing workforce, lots of baby boomers, people of a certain level of experience, and we do plan our learning activities to fit and to suit that demographic of people. We don't, and we didn't, really think about using approaches and styles and tools and methods to actually approach to an audience that have probably learnt to learn in a very, very different environment, using very different tools and very different digital literacies to those people that we were really aiming at. So that was the first thing I did, was really try and win an ally over in my learning and development manager. I threw myself headlong in my own time, because I couldn't get access to them at work, to creating this online digital fingerprint. So I took a lot of time and invested a lot of time, and I'm still doing that, in creating this digital personality. Because what I wanted to show was two things, really. I wanted, to be quite selfishly honest, to gain the information and gain the data from the people that I'd met and seen and starting to network with through learning technologies. But I also wanted to be able to prove back to my organization, should I ever be asked to do so, about, okay, they may call my bluff and say, okay, what is it that we can do with these tools? How can they add value? Show us some examples. And I wanted to have those examples up my sleeve. So really, I primed the organization by having this conversation with my line manager. Then I went away and made sure that I had evidence in whatever way, shape or form they required it to back up what I was saying about how it could add value back to the organization. So those were my those were really my tentative steps when coming back from Learning Technologies 2010, to try and get my organization to engage more with this approach to learning.
You mentioned there that there was a lot of evidence gathering, and you had to do a lot of convincing of managers and senior leaders to embrace the social tools. I suspect that was one of your biggest challenges when trying to design and implement your project ideas.
Well, it wasn't one of the biggest. To be honest, it's really been the only one. As all the others, such as allowing websites to be unblocked, or changing the way that we deliver face-to-face events to perhaps add a more social offline or social online aspect to them, they've all really hinged upon being able to convince people in senior positions of the value of social learning, the value of informal learning, the fact that very little value is actually gained from the formal activities, and yet that's where most of our investment goes. So really, for me, that's the crux point. All the other challenges, that the little things along the way, can only be removed by having that big and winning that big conversation to actually change the way that people think about learning.
What's interesting, I find, is that when you read about social media for learning and you take part in the discussions about it, there's very much a sense that this is a concept whose time has come. Why do you think that is?
This is really nothing new, that this sort of social learning. We've always been social animals. We've also always learned in a social environment. We're surrounded by social tools anyway, even if it's a telephone or email or just good old-fashioned conversation, you know, the Mark One social tool, having a conversation with somebody.
I think a key point to take away from what you're saying is that barriers put in place by your organisation don't necessarily have to hold you back from using social tools. For instance, you, Craig, use a variety of tools and are very active in many online communities. But in terms of your own personal projects, what have you found to be the main challenges?
The biggest challenge really has been, I've got to be honest, is finding the time. The ability to actually get many of my personal projects off the ground between 9 to 5 is severely limited by the fact that I'm operating through a very locked down, very restricted internet connection. Now, there might be quite a lot of people listening to this saying, well, rightly so, Craig, because you shouldn't be doing those sorts of things during working hours. However, what they may not be aware of, that's actually my job. My job is a communications technologist, and it was my job when I took that on to actually look into current and emerging technologies, to have a look at them, research them, and figure out how my organisation could use them for learning and development activities, be it formal or informal, enhance our communications either internally or externally. So, but obviously being within such a restrictive environment, it's a bit of a chicken and egg vicious circle scenario. So most of my projects take place at weekends or on evenings, when I can actually get access to those networks or those unlocked networks. And of course, you know, even during working hours, with the advent of tablets and smartphones and things, I'm still able to do that sort of work. I'm still able to be able to do that sort of research. In terms of the biggest challenges, it's not been cost, because most of these tools are free. It certainly hasn't been my or a lack of technical ability, because I'm not a techie. I'm not a programmer. I'm what I would call a frontline practitioner. So most of these tools nowadays, very intuitive. You can take them straight off the shelf, start using them with little or no training whatsoever. And of course, to prove the point, when you do have a problem, you've always got your social network to turn to help you out with that. So time has probably been the biggest challenge with getting some of these projects off the ground.
I was hearing lots of positives as well as challenges there, Craig, which is great. But let me ask you, what has embracing learning technologies and social tools done for you both personally and professionally?
It stripped away, I suppose, the arrogance, for want of a better word, that I probably had about my position in the learning and development world. I worked in L&D probably since about 93, 94 in various guises and shapes and forms and different parts of the learning cycle. And I thought that, you know, I thought I knew my way around the learning cycle and how it could be used. And then I went to Learning Technologies 2010 and just saw an entirely new world, not only the informal learning side of things, but coupled with effective use of decent technologies, I saw what could be achieved. And probably answering both points, it's allowed me to connect to an amazing and absolutely mind-blowing network of people, many of whom I actually consider friends now, as opposed to just people at the end of 140 characters in a tweet. And it's really allowed me to connect with like-minded people that I haven't had the opportunity to do back in the more formal setting of my organisation.
Is there one final piece of advice you'd like to offer listeners to this interview, Craig?
If you're listening to this podcast and you've happened across it through the Edentree website and you've not yet really dipped your toes or even considered dipping your toes in this field, do something. Whatever it is, do something within the hour of listening, of finishing listening to this podcast. Set up a Twitter account. Go and have a look at your LinkedIn account that you set up 5 years ago and haven't been back to since. Go and do something and follow up on that. And I promise you, within 6 months' time, you'll look back at where you were today and realise how your personal learning, development and network has actually increased just by doing that one thing differently when you finish with this podcast.
That's great, Craig. Lots of fantastic advice there that I think we can all benefit from. So thanks very much for talking to Edentree today.
Thank you, James.
Craig will be discussing getting the most from technologies that you already have on the 14th of September at Learning Live in Birmingham. Thanks for listening.